to Slightly Offsides, your perfect game plan for all things college and professional football. Hosted by Dre and Mike.
Welcome back to episode 5 of Slightly Offsides. I'm Mike, and I have my co-host with me, Dre, here. We have a special guest host today for you guys, a Twitter icon, Right Bet Sports. Right Bet, thanks for coming on and joining us today.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll get right into it. It's been a crazy college football season. Right Bet, we've kind of talked about college football a lot on this podcast, but wanted to get your opinion on not only, you know, the season as a whole, but also this national championship we're going to be seeing tomorrow. Give us your thoughts.
I watch a lot of college football. I enjoy college football. I think the national championship is exactly who it needs to be. Personally, me, I'm a Michigan fan. They got smoked last week, but I feel like if Michigan played Georgia 10 times, they'd lose all 10 times. But as far as the national championship goes, I'm really leaning towards Georgia winning it right now. But I mean, it's hard for me to say because I've always been one of those guys that whenever I see Alabama as an underdog, they always usually show up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's pretty strong take there. We talked about it last week. I think Alabama's going to win as well, just because of that. Never let Saban be an underdog.
I'm praying for Georgia, but it's unlikely. I want to see Georgia win it. I just want to see Georgia win it. It has nothing to do with who will probably win, but I hope Georgia wins.
I just feel like Saban always gets over on Kirby Smart. Yeah. I don't know the exact record off the top of my head, but I know it's not good.
Yeah, it's a lot to nothing, man. It's a lot to nothing. That's what it is.
Yeah, I don't know if it's 0-6 or something in the ballpark.
I think it's 0-7, 0-8, somewhere in there.
Yeah,
I think I saw something.
But, you know, you say you're a Michigan fan. Harbaugh vanquished his demons this year. Maybe Kirby can too.
Yeah. And speaking of Harbaugh, I personally think he's gone. I think he's going to head towards the NFL.
That's what I've been hearing.
Yeah, we heard Raiders.
Yeah, I heard Raiders too. I just heard a report. I mean, I don't know how 100% accurate it is, but that he was telling recruits that he's been entertaining NFL offers. I feel like as a coach, if you go out and tell a recruit that you're entertaining another offer, chances are you're probably leaning that way.
Yeah, usually they keep those things pretty close until they're getting ready to make the final decision. So that's pretty.
Especially because look at Brian Kelly was on a meeting like minutes before he signed to go to LSU, and he was still telling recruits that it wasn't true.
Yeah. That's why we gave Brian Kelly scumbag of the year.
Have you guys seen that report?
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that report? He was like at a recruit's house, and like minutes later he left, and the recruit saw on ESPN that Brian Kelly was headed to LSU.
That's just so messed up, man. Yeah. That's so crazy. Messed up.
Dude, but no, I've never been
a superlative this year for like.
Yeah. That's what I said. He was scumbag of the year. Yeah. We gave Brian Kelly scumbag of the year.
Yeah, man. He definitely turned off a lot of people. I mean, I personally think a lot of people didn't like him anyway. And now people definitely don't like him. I personally hate Notre Dame, but.
Yeah, I was never a big fan of Notre Dame growing up.
I just feel like every year that they're that pretend team that beats nobodies, and then like every year somehow they come up in the college football playoff. Every year they come, even this year they were talked about, and then thank God they blew the 21-7 lead they had to Oklahoma State, so it's like people could just shut up.
Yeah, no, I don't know if you saw this either, but on that Notre Dame train yesterday, Marcus Freeman was doing an interview, and he was talking about how you know, growing up at Ohio or like playing for Ohio State was an honor and everything. But, you know, he got the call from Ryan Day to maybe be the DC there. But he ultimately stayed at Notre Dame because, in his words, he said like something like Notre Dame has one thing that no other program in the country does, and that's the ability to compete for national championships. And it's so funny because like Notre Dame hasn't won a New Year's Six Bowl since like 1990.
20 years.
Yeah, like it's literally. What are you talking
literally.
About? Unreal.
I got a buddy of mine, his dad's a huge ND fan, and I text him every year, like, man, you guys just can't win a big game. It's just impossible.
I know. They honestly, at this point, they should at least consider joining a conference just to try to give themselves a
even look. Even like early on, like I tweet about this all the time. It's like ND barely beat Florida State. I think they went to overtime. They beat like Tulane on the last play of the game. They lost to Cincinnati, and then like Cincinnati's playing in the college football playoff, and you got people tweeting like, "Oh, would ND fare better in this game?" They didn't even beat Cincinnati. Why would they fare better in this game?
Yeah, and they didn't even really lose that game particularly closely. Like, they hung around, but they lost that game by a good double-digit figure. It was, like, 14 or something.
Yeah, and especially, like, I personally like Cincinnati. Like, I thought they belonged in the game, and even though they got beat, most people get blown out. It's not, like, anything new.
Yeah, no, they fared well. I think if they had executed a little bit better, they actually would have had a much better chance in the game. But they definitely showed that they belonged.
Yeah, my personal opinion is Fickell was too conservative. I mean, he's sitting there and like taking field goals on like fourth and twos, punting on fourth and ones. Like, bro, you're playing Bama, man. Just go for it. Just I wouldn't even have brought my punter.
I wouldn't even have brought my punter. I love that.
Especially with the defense that they had too, mind you. You got top-notch defense.
On yeah, no, and they didn't trust the defense either. No, like, I think exactly what you're saying, right, Ben, on both sides of the ball. We touched on this on the podcast. They were just too timid on both sides of the ball. They looked like they went out there to not get blown out instead of try to win the game.
100%. They went to, like, keep it close and, like, oh, they stayed in it. When in reality, they should have just went full throttle the whole game, whatever. If it's fourth and five or less and we're near the 50, we're going for it every time. You need as many points as you can against Bama.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. So right, Bet, tell us, I guess for the listeners out there, right, I know a little bit about what you do on Twitter and stuff, but just give yourself a little bit of an elevator pitch for our listeners out there. What is it that you do on Twitter?
Yeah, man. So my Twitter is RightBetSports1. I'm a sports handicapper, so I give picks out. I've been sports betting over 10 years at this point, but I started the Twitter in June, and it's actually grown to when I first started it, I really didn't know what to make of it. It was kind of just something that I was doing, and then I have over 1,100 followers now in like 6-7 months, and people – obviously, I run a VIP service, so people pay for picks, and we do all sorts of picks. We do football, we'll do a little bit of soccer, we do basketball, we do tennis, baseball. I don't do any hockey. We do college basketball, but obviously I only do the tournament personally. I find myself as a better handicapper. Like, you have a much more gauge on the sport once tournament time comes than these random games early on. And obviously we do college football as well, so we do pretty much all things sports. I mean, follow my Twitter, even if you don't sports bet, but we talk about sports in general as well. It's not just like a sports betting talk every day. Like, we talk about everything.
Yeah, and
that's pretty much what I do.
He's being pretty humble here. I've seen some of his cards on the backside. He tends to upload them, right, Bet, you like upload them after they're
I usually recap every single day, win or lose, doesn't really matter. I mean, it's part of the game. We're up over 300 units since June, which is obviously unheard of in the gambling world. I don't know. And obviously, if somebody listening knows about gambling, they'll know what I'm talking about. If you don't know about gambling, you'll probably be like, what's he talking about?
Yeah, no, you said it right there. That's what I was just going to say, is you're being a little too humble on yourself there. The dude does he rarely misses in terms of, you know, when you're thinking about gambling, right? Normal win rates around like 55%, 56% if you're professional handicapper.
Honestly, probably hitting like over 60%, especially like NFL and football has been real kind to us. Tennis was really good to us this year. I mean, basketball, we've been, I don't know if my exact record is the last 2 weeks, but we've been crushing it. I think I did the math the other day. We were hitting at like 67%.
Yeah, no, so definitely check him out. He's going to have a lot of fun with us on the pod today, but make sure you follow his Twitter. Like he said, RightBetSports1 on Twitter. Definitely worth it for the follow. So RightBet, let's get into one of our interesting discussions here, kind of a bridge from the college talk we've been having to the NFL. If you had to pick, Dre and I had like a really interesting conversation before one of our podcasts last week, and we were like, we have to bring this on with one of our guest hosts, and we just thought that you'd be the right person to talk about this with. Who do you have more respect for? Like, who would you, Dre? I don't really know how to frame this question, but I guess
So it's like, you know, you're gonna look at both landscapes and you're just gonna say which coach is the better, has the better, you know, overall, you know.
Like, who deserves more praise?
Prestige, right?
Who deserves more praise between Saban or Belichick?
All right, so I'm gonna I'm going to put out some info here that most people don't know, but I'm actually a diehard Giants fan. So, I mean, like, if you look at my Twitter and see some of my tweets, you'd be able to draw that I'm a Giants fan, but I don't ever, like, come out and say it publicly just because I try to keep it non-biased. But so Bill Belichick obviously started as a Giants D coordinator, and so I'm drawn to Bill as a person. But I do think even without that, I would choose Bill just because I know Saban, I think his all-time record is like 178 and 94, and Bill Belichick is 321 and 154. And then obviously Saban's got the 7 national titles, and Bill B has the 6 Super Bowls as a head coach, 2 Super Bowls as a D coordinator. But the one thing about Saban is, I mean, I'm only 25. I don't know how old you guys are, but I know the history of like when Saban took that Dolphins job and quit on the team midseason. And I just feel like that really holds Saban back as a coach. I don't know that I believe the dynamics where he wanted to draft. I think it was Drew Brees at the time. Don't quote me on it for sure, but I believe it was Drew Brees, and the higher ups didn't want to draft. And then he ended up quitting on the team halfway through the year. So I think that really holds him back as a coach and as a leader. But what Saban has done at Alabama has been incredible, and he hasn't even been there that long. Realistically, like, you feel like Saban's been there 40 years when that's really not the case, but you just know Saban as, when you think of Alabama, you think of Saban, and when you think of Saban, you think of Alabama, and it's always going to be like that. But on a personal level, I think Bill Belichick is the better head. I don't want to say better. I think he's the more respected head coach, and probably rightfully so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely – it's difficult to do what Belichick did in that string with the Patriots, right? Especially, like, when you're thinking about the two of them, right? It's definitely easier, I think, to maintain a dynasty at the college football level, right? There are a little bit more bumps in the road, right? Recruiting is definitely a process and stuff. But you do – when you have, like, the caliber that Saban and Alabama have, right, you tend to, I guess, just – pre-done recruiting for you, right? Like, a lot
of, and once you build, once you Bama. In college football, once you lay the foundation like Bama has, I mean, how hard is it to recruit?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that me to stands out the most about Saban, right, and like the reason why I would probably take Saban over Belichick is just because, not necessarily what he's done with the players, right? Because we talked about that, right? It's easy to recruit when you're at a school like Alabama. While like managing those players and those highly touted recruits is a separate story. I think he deserves a lot of praise for that because they are young men, right? I think the main thing for why I really like Saban is his ability to keep replacing staff. I mean, this is a dude who has higher staff turnover than anybody in college football, and he's just constantly picking, you know, the best coaches. Like, I can't remember the last time a college coach was able to go take a previous NFL head coach and turn him into a coordinator. And that's what he did for Bill O'Brien. And now Bill O'Brien's interviewing the Jaguars job. So, I mean, he essentially just revived Bill O'Brien's career. So, I mean, that's.
And I think he's done that multiple times too. Like I feel like he did the same thing with Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I'd probably take Saban and just for that one little thing. But I think both of them are absolutely incredible with what they've done. And I think you're barking up the right tree with Belichick. It's definitely harder to have that type of continued success in the NFL.
Especially like anyone that obviously that's listening that watches football knows like how hard it is to see your team win one Super Bowl, to see one head coach win 6. And obviously people are going to say like, oh, it was Tom Brady or oh, it was Belichick. But I mean, football is a team sport at the end of the day. Look what New England looked like, garbage last year. And then this year now they look actually like a decent team that could make a run maybe. And that's without Brady. And obviously that discussion would also lean on how you feel about Mac Jones as a quarterback. But I mean, I don't think he's like the like an all-time great quarterback right now. So I think it's more on the coaching than it is the QB play.
No, I mean, I agree with that. I think Mac Jones, it was definitely an interesting pick, but I think he's really grown into himself. And it'll be interesting to see how he continues to develop. I was definitely not the highest on him when he came out of college. I think
me neither, man. Me neither.
I think that he's still a pretty raw talent, but he can definitely sling it. He's got the size too. I think that's something that when you look at all the quarterbacks that Belichick has really kind of put under his tutelage over the years, I think that's one thing that he really values highly is like a big frame quarterback, somebody who can easily make the reads and kind of more of a game manager, which is really what I would say, you know, I hesitate to call Brady game manager, but it's not.
Yeah,
I think he's the one person to call a game manager, and it's not an insult too, because he really just does manage the game.
Yeah, I feel like game manager too was a term a lot of people threw around for Brady before he went to Tampa and won the Super Bowl. I feel like then a lot of people started, like me, I never really thought of Brady as a game manager. I knew he could make the big plays and the big throws, and the dude's always been confident enough to do so. But I feel like once he went to Tampa, there's a lot of haters that were like, oh, he only won in the Patriots system, the Patriots way, and then he goes down to Tampa and wins the Super Bowl in that first season, and it's an incredible feat.
Yeah, and I mean, they're sticking to that too, mind you. They still look good, even after all the drama.
I feel like they lack a little bit on the defensive side, I think. But, I mean, obviously that's not Brady's fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, all the shenanigans they're dealing with now, I don't know how they'll fare.
Yeah, I mean, even then, they still fare. I still think they fare pretty well, just in a large grand scheme of things. They have some issues on the defensive side of the ball, like you said. I'm not necessarily concerned about maybe their first round game. I'm more concerned about second, thirds, and watching Tom, you know, continue to keep up with what he's doing. It's going to continuously get more rigorous. A lot of young players are coming in. They look really good this year, especially in the NFL.
Yeah.
So
yeah, for sure.
So let's take this opportunity while we're talking about the Bucks and shenanigans. I feel like let's connect these two dots here. Let's talk about what happened this previous week with Antonio Brown. Dre, I know you and I had like a pretty heated discussion about it off record when it first happened. What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, it's so fuzzy, at least in my mind. It's like, you know, you're trying to figure out who's telling what and what's true to really decipher who's right. I've been seeing a lot of people now, you know, reposting this Antonio Brown interview shortly after the game that he did. I can't remember with what podcast it was.
It was the Nelk podcast.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't yet to watch it, so I can't give a complete statement on what's true and what's not. But at least from my mind, if you're injured, you know, they're forcing you back early. You know, that's a player's, you know, that's your body. That's your livelihood. That's how you make your money. That's how you're going to help your team win. I understand if you don't want to play. I don't think he went about it the right way at all. You know, this is not Antonio Brown's first run amok he's had in the NFL, you know, but I think that overall he's just got to keep his head on straight regardless of where he's playing. And I think this may be his last shot. I think he should probably just retire at this point. The reputation is getting so tarnished at this point. I don't know where he's going to go. I don't know who's going to want him other than the fact that he is one of the greatest wide receivers. You're just going to ask, is he going to be a locker room problem?
Yo, the Raiders will take him, right?
I mean, this
is the early 2000s. The Raiders will take him.
They already tried that one.
But nah, I think you say a lot of things there. I think you're right. I think this is his last rodeo in terms of like questionable PR, right? I don't know if he is going to get another shot. I really don't know who else could give him that shot, right? I mean, the Patriots already did, right? But like you said, the Raiders tried, and he was with the Bucks. I mean, I don't really see a team spending the veteran salary cap on him.
You know who I could see possibly doing it, and I think it has less to do with his. It's more to do. It's less about football, more to do with personal ties that'll lead back into football. I think it may be the Ravens if they really, really want him.
Well, if the Ravens do it, it's because they're in sore need.
They have
his cousin on the team too,
Marquise. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Family ties more so than, you know.
I don't know.
That's the only last option, though.
The issue with the Ravens is that the Ravens aren't going to have the cap. Like they're tied. Their hands are tied behind their back with their salary cap situation.
They're not.
Bro, I say that about the cap every year, and then the team with no cap finds a way to spend $200 million.
Like, yeah.
The cap in the NFL is a big like facade at this point.
Yeah, that's true. We'll see what happens because he brings up a point that I think is very feasible. That a lot of times we watch teams make a couple of moves.
Yeah, but
that offseason and sign off on somebody.
I just don't know. I don't know at this point. Like, do you even want a player like that in your locker room? And I think I think in this situation, right? I think Antonio Brown's being negatively affected in the media for like all of his past wrongdoings. I think he's actually in the right here in terms of like what went down. But I agree with you. I don't think he went about it the right way. But I do respect him for, you know, at least standing up for what he believed in. I don't know. I know a lot of fantasy owners are pissed.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I've seen a bunch of people tweet how he lost them. I mean, I'm not a big fantasy guy in general, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least in my mind, you know, the problem is for me is you can't have that. What he did there was he walked out on his team, right?
Well, yeah, but regardless he felt like his team walked out on him.
On him, yeah, I hear you. But regardless of that situation, you know, you're one man against, you know, 80-some-odd players, right? And this ain't – it's like the boy who cried wolf. How many times are we going to keep, you know, giving Antonio Brown the second, third, fourth, fifth opportunity to say what he said was right? Again, I think he has an incredible talent. He's going to go down as one of the greatest wide receivers of all time, if not the greatest. If he gets a second chance, he can pull off another one. And, you know, I think it'll just be a matter of time before we have to start, you know, tossing out that Antonio Brown thing, regardless of what he's done outside of the field.
I don't know about all that.
And you're a Steelers fan, John. I'm sorry to throw you under the bus, but you know, hey, he's phenomenal. Great route runner, amazing body, great athlete. It's just, I can't believe the mental aspect of, you know, where it's taken him, at least over the past couple of years, just watching his route down to, I mean, essentially not playing football is where he's headed. And who knows even further. I mean, he's gotten in legal problems too. So, right, Ben, what's your take on it?
I mean, honestly, last week I was actually on a flight, and as soon as I got off the flight, I had like four or five messages from different people sending me that clip. And I see, like, you know, it shows you like what, like the main whatever image of the picture, but it's still. So I see like Antonio Brown with like shirtless, one hand up in the end zone, and like the team's in the background. I'm just like, what is going on? So then I click the video and I watch, and I'm like, what? And then, like, obviously I got on my Twitter, whatever, saw the reports and saw that he threw his pads off. I saw the video of Mike Evans trying to calm him down, which, I mean, I really didn't even have a problem with anything he did at that point if what he said is true. But when you watch that, like, Full Send podcast he did the other day, I just think the guy sounds like an idiot at that point.
Yeah.
Like, even when he speaks, man, there's just something off about him. And I'm just like, if he didn't do that interview, I had no problem with what he did or how he did it. Technically, I'd say. But once he did that, I listened to that podcast the other day. I was just like, this guy sounds like an idiot. He's speaking on the team. First of all, he tweets like, oh, but my brothers at least were there for me or something. Don't get it twisted. And then like on the Full Send podcast, he's talking about Brady. Like one second he's saying Brady's his friend, and the other like is Brady really my friend if I'm playing for an earnest salary? Like, first of all, you were a free agent, and the only offer he had was from the Bucks. It's not Brady's fault that he's playing on an incentive deal.
Brady is the reason why this man has had a job the past 4 years, bro. Three, four years.
And then he compared like his money to Gronk's money and said Gronk's Brady's boy. But it's like the only reason Gronk gets paid decently well, because they know, like, when I'm not a big Gronk fan, but when the guy gets paid to show up, he shows up and he makes the plays when he has to. And that's it. There's no, like, as a lot of people want to like criticize Gronk for certain things back in the day. But I mean, the guy's never really done anything where you're like, oh, he's got a character flaws. He's just a crazy dude that's outgoing.
Yeah, like his Gronk's issues were never like big issues. They were just like, oh, this kid parties hard. He has too much of a good time. But like he would always show up for the games. Like he wasn't like it wasn't taking its toll on the field. But I mean,
if you didn't watch that podcast yet with Antonio Brown, I would. Man, the guy's just sitting there like feet kicked up on the table, like just talking nonsense for like an hour.
So we actually one of my good friends outside of the podcast, we were talking about it when it first happened, because I was watching NFL Red Zone. I watched it happen live. I like looked over, I saw it, and it was like breaking news. It was like, oh, Antonio Brown just like quit on the Bucks, and I'm like, what? And so I'm talking to my friend about this, and our first initial thing, and I feel like we should talk about this a little bit, just get everybody's take on this, like, my friend seems to believe that Antonio Brown like might actually have some signs of like CTE.
I was gonna say that, bro, because his actions don't, it seems just so off. Like mentally he just seems off.
And if it is, that's such a tragedy. Yeah. I mean, that's such a tragedy.
And it's so early, bro. It's so early.
I don't know about CTE, but he's got something for sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Even in the podcast, like he speaks about himself in third person, which is very odd for me to listen to. Like he called himself AB. It doesn't say me or I, it just says AB.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he has some sort of disorder, you know, yeah, bipolar man. Disorder or something. It's just sad to see him, you know. He's been going down this route for a while now. We're just waiting to see whenever they're going to stop giving him the pass. That's really when AB's train is going
to
stop.
Did either of you guys listen to the podcast, the full, like, whole thing?
No.
I saw there was this one clip. The clip that I saw was about him talking about Tom Brady's the Guerrero, like his trainer, his plyometrics guy, and he was talking about that and how that, like, that deal, like, soured. The guy, like, took 100K, didn't offer any, like, services or whatever. I saw that part, but I haven't seen the entire part.
They said they refunded him the money, so I don't know what AB's complaint is.
And he, like, sent the screenshots, like, into, I think he put it on Instagram.
Yeah, he made Guerrero look like a good guy.
Yeah, no, Guerrero was fine. I mean, I don't understand what AB's deal with TB12 and Guerrero is.
Just think, bro, if you paid me $100,000 and I didn't do the service and you texted me and said, I need the money back, and I said, oh, all right, well, let me know where to wire it, and you posted a screenshot of it, you'd look like the idiot, not me. Like, yeah. I'm at the point, the guy's trying to give you the money back. There's no issue here.
I mean, I feel like if I was Antonio Brown in this situation, there's one person I would put all of my energy into as, like, the enemy, and that would be, like, Bruce Arians, right? If half the stuff that he said about Arians is true, I mean, that's just absolutely horrible.
That's the dude he should be focused on.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, he's throwing shots and shade everywhere, and that's where it's like – that's the reason why I say there's a problem here. It's like you can't just – I don't know. He put on a team that's been holding him, you know, accountable to a certain degree for a year, and then he still makes the
– And even if, like, they let him slide with a couple things, like the fake vaccination card, no one made a big deal. Like, yeah, he got suspended by the NFL, but Bruce Arians pretty much didn't even talk about it through the interviews.
No, he didn't. And he pretty much – B.A. really did keep his composure throughout a lot of this, which is surprising. Another reason why it's hard for me to sit back and be like, oh, what he did was – 110% correct, because it's like BA didn't really have any problem with AB. At least it didn't seem to be on field problems until more recently, whenever he's came back and made it a problem when he said, I'm not getting my touches, I'm not getting no looks, I'm not getting enough, you know, PT, I'm not getting enough burn, you're not throwing me enough balls. That's when it started, like, looking out of place.
I feel like Terrell Owens started this, but, like, the NFL has slowly become more and more like the NBA, where it's just, like, full of, like, prima donna stars. And, like, Antonio Brown's case, right, it's just so – I think it's arguably the biggest fall from grace in, like, NFL history. I mean, this guy went from, like you're saying, Dre, this guy went from one of the best receivers in the league. Maybe arguably, like, I'd say I wouldn't quite put him all time. I'd probably put him, like, top 10, maybe top 5. But, like, he was up there to all of a sudden, like, he basically took a couple years off, had a bunch of issues, and then just became, like, a nomad with, like, a bad attitude. And now he's just, like, a afterthought in the league.
Well, you know, at least I would love to see him get it together. I say that every single time. But I would love to see him get it together.
Well, and that's the sad part is this year he actually was kind of getting it together. Like, this was the first year. I mean, I've played fantasy football since, like, I was, like, 12. And this was the first year in the past, like, 4 years that he had become fantasy relevant again, right? Like, he was actually getting touches from Brady. He was doing stuff when he was playing for the Bucks, and then this happens. And now it's just, like, I feel like he's got to hang him up.
Yeah. Retire Antonio Brown or no retire Antonio Brown at the end of the season? Are we anybody got a pick here?
I think he retires
forcefully.
I don't.
Not forcefully. No. Okay.
No, I mean, I think he retires if no one gives him an offer. But I mean, as we've seen in the NFL, I'm sure somebody will give him a shot.
I think somebody in his circle needs to tell him at some point this is going to do you more harm than it is good. Like, use what's left of your public image and create that to make money for yourself on other ways. You know, stop trying to chase this dream. But I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a whole mess. But that's Antonio Brown. I mean, I guess one other thing that's exciting, right? Within the hour, we're gonna kick off the Week 18 games for the NFL. So we have some teams that are in limbo, right? The Ravens, the Steelers are hoping for some miracles. They play each other. And then you also got other teams in the hunt. I think you got the Chargers. and a couple of other teams, Raiders. Yep, they play each other. Both teams are in the hunt. So, right, but let's get your opinion here on like what you think is going to happen today, and who do you see as some like dark horses and favorites in the playoffs?
As far as like the AFC goes, I know Indy gets in with a win against Jacksonville. They're 14-point favorites. I think obviously they'll get that done, and they'll probably get it done big. They'll probably beat Jacksonville by 3 touchdowns, if I had to say. And then the Chargers game tonight, I think they're 3-point favorites against the Raiders on Sunday Night Football. I think the Chargers win that one too. I haven't seen enough from the Raiders in the last like 4 or 5 weeks to show me that they're going to be able to keep up and beat the Chargers. So I think the last two slots in the AFC will be Indianapolis and the Chargers.
Yeah, no, I think you make an interesting point on the Raiders, because the Raiders started out the season like damn good. Like they looked really good. Carr was slinging it around.
Yeah, they started 5-0.
Yeah, no, they looked really impressive. One of the better teams in the AFC, especially when like the Chiefs were struggling. They looked really good, and they just kind of sputtered down the stretch. The Chargers have kind of –
Here's the thing about the Raiders, man. I think in the last 3 years, like – this isn't exact, but it's in the ballpark. They've started like 4-2, 4-1, like 5-0, like 3 times and missed the playoffs all 3 times. So they have like once midseason comes, they just spiral. Like they start hot and then they lose their steam and they just collapse. I mean, obviously this year is a little bit different. They had obviously the John Gruden firing, which had to be done obviously for what happened. They had Ruggs driving 190 miles per hour. They had Damon Arnett posting videos on Instagram about killing followers. They had to cut him too. I mean, that's a lot to deal with in one season.
Yeah, no.
Raiders have been hell and back, man.
It's the Raiders.
Yeah, man. And especially like Rick Bisaccia taking over. Like, I'm a Rick Bisaccia guy. I don't think he should be the head coach next year. But at the same time, the guy stepped in, and to even have him in a position where they're in a win and end game is pretty incredible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think. I don't know. I think the Chargers will definitely win. I think you're right. I think this is going to be a really exciting playoff, because I think this year could be like, to me, I'm looking at this year as the changing of the guard, right? This is the year where I think some of these younger quarterbacks, other than Mahomes, really start to take over for your Rodgers and your Brady. I mean, I'm looking in the NFC. I'm looking particularly at Dak. Like, I think the Cowboys could actually do something this year. Right. Kyler could get hot again, take the Cardinals to the playoffs. I don't know, man. And then there's Burrow. I mean, I'd love to see the Bengals.
Burrow looks very good.
Yeah, I'd love to see the Bengals in the Super Bowl. I mean, I think that would be really sick. Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow. That would be a phenomenal game, whoever they played out of the NFC.
Yeah, I just feel like in the AFC, the Chiefs are a lot better than everybody else, like if I had to say. And honestly, I feel pretty much similar in the NFC with Green Bay. I feel like if Green Bay stays the course and they connect like they have, I don't see anybody in the NFC beating Green Bay.
So are you saying – so A connects to B and B connects to C. Are you saying we could see a Chiefs-Packers?
Yeah, Super Bowl one. I think it's a chalk, obviously, because they're both favorites in each conference. But I think there's a very, very strong possibility that that's who you're going to see.
All right, Dre, who are your picks for Super Bowl? Let's go Super Bowl matchups.
I like LA a lot this year. LA has had a solid offense, solid defense. They look like they can possibly have a nice run. Aaron Rodgers has been. You know, Aaron Rodgers, it's scary, but I do like LA. I'm going to hope and pray that LA makes it to the Super Bowl. And I'll probably I actually like the Titans, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I'm going LA Chiefs this year.
Here's my issue with the Titans. Okay. Cause the Titans are a phenomenal team. I think they're perfectly built for regular season ball, but I don't know, like if they get behind in a game in the playoffs, I don't know if you can trust Tannehill to sling them back into it. Like that's my issue with them.
They also haven't been here that many times. I mean, they made a run. What was it, last year, 2 years ago, to the AFC championship?
Yeah. It was the year they shocked the Ravens in the wild card. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, beat the Patriots too.
Yeah. I was going to say they haven't been here a ton of times in more recent memory, but you know, they have a shot. Tannehill's he's, body, but you know, you can make it a really hard time with just Derrick Henry alone. With just him alone, you can make it really hard. So I don't know. The Titans are really good this year, though. They've looked good, and they played well. So they deserve that little spot that they got.
So I will tell you what I think is going to happen. I think the Rams defense is going to be a difference maker in the playoffs. I really think it will. I think the addition of Odell Beckham is going to help him a lot in spreading that ball around, maybe take some of that pressure off of Cooper Kupp, because I feel like teams are going to just make it their life mission to try to reduce his touches as much as possible. I don't know if they get past the Bucs. I think they will, but I'm not that strong on it. I would say Rams, and I'm going to go with the Bills. I think Josh Allen gets hot in the postseason. I think if they have some home games, I don't think they will, though. They should if they play the weaker wild card teams, like one of the weaker wild card teams that doesn't go to the Chiefs. But I think I like the Bills and the Rams. What I would like to see happen, though, and this is what I want to pose to you guys, what I think would be like the coolest story of a Super Bowl would be Bucks Patriots. How do we feel about that?
Oh, it would be an incredible story, but I don't see it happening.
I don't see it happening either, but I just think that – I think ESPN would have an absolute field day with that. I feel like they'd make like a 30 for 30 just for that game.
I feel like that'd probably be a game of a lifetime.
It would be cool. I mean, so many times you've heard Brady and Belichick verse. Now it would be Brady versus Belichick. It would be so.
But fitting. I feel the same way, honestly, about Kansas City versus Green Bay. You'd have Mahomes, like younger star versus Aaron Rodgers on his way out with age. And Mahomes lost a Super Bowl last year to an older QB. Does he lose two in a row or does he take over again? I feel like that storyline is incredible, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And
The NFL's in a good spot.
It's in a great spot. I think this is the last time I can remember in probably our lifetimes where there's been such good young quarterback talent in the league. I mean, when you look at a bunch of these teams that are challenging, what is it, like 6 out of the 8 best teams in the NFL right now have QBs that are younger than like 26, right? Like you got Herbert, Burrow, Allen. I think Dak still qualifies. I think he's 26.
Kyler,
Lamar also, but they're not going to probably make the playoffs. So I agree with you. The NFL is in a really good place. There's a lot of youth. I feel like the development cycle in the NFL has gotten quicker and quicker for a lot of these guys. Like they're coming in and doing meaningful minutes and meaningful bits immediately.
I can't lie. I think it speaks to college too. I think it speaks to the college and how physical college has gotten over the past couple of years. It's been a little bit more intense as I've watched college football progress. Team shifting, conferences shifting. These playoffs meaning a lot more instead of just BCS. You know, we're rocking out BCS 1 and 2 every year.
I think it's
credit to college, and then obviously the NFL has just been perfectly played out over the past few years. GMs have been doing a great job, at least in my mind.
I think another big thing too is that I don't think there's ever been a point where the schemes of like college teams and NFL teams are this close together. Like you see a big difference earlier on in the 2000s, right? But more of the spread, more of the RPO has kind of translated to the NFL. You're also seeing NFL signal callers go into college and help prepare these guys a lot better in using NFL. Like, I mean, most of what Bill O'Brien was doing with the Crimson Tide offense this year was a lot of NFL schemes. That's part of what gave Georgia a lot of trouble in the SEC championship. We'll see if it gives them trouble again. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of overlap.
For sure. I mean, we've watched it happen firsthand with the Cardinals. When they first drafted Kyler, they picked up Texas Tech's head coach.
Yeah, Kingsbury.
And dropped him in there. He changed their whole offense. Everybody was really skeptical. But, I mean, it ended up playing in their favor over time. I think they made some adjustments that worked out for their football program or for their football team. And I think it worked out with Kyler, just, you know, undersized king is what I'll call Kyler. He's played out that position in that role of, you know, taking on a big role, trying to turn around a Cardinals team that hasn't been good in quite some time. So,
okay, so we'll pose right back. Let's pose this interesting question to you. Who would you say is like the most dangerous team? Assuming like chalk holds and everybody we expect to make the playoff does, who would you say is like the most dangerous team to be on everybody's radar for the playoffs?
Well, I mean, obviously, because I said Green Bay and Kansas City, but I'll pick like someone that I think could be dangerous that's not one of the top two teams. I think Arizona, because I think they have a good dynamic on offense, and Kyler, like we said, he can make the big plays, and I think that if they play well, they can make a splash in the NFC that as a team that's not Green Bay, obviously. I mean, like you guys said, the Rams too, but I don't know. I'm not too sold on the Rams after like even that game I watched against Tennessee.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was a Sunday Night Football game like 6-7 weeks ago. I don't know if the Rams could do anything crazy. And then Cincinnati in the AFC side is a team that could be real dangerous. Like, look what they did with the Chiefs last week. I was, like I said, I was on a flight. They were down 14-0. I landed and they won.
Yeah.
Which is insane, especially against the Chiefs team that's actually over the last – I know after like 4 weeks, people were saying, oh, the Chiefs look bad, Mahomes on the decline, blah, blah, blah. But they won like 9 in a row since then. And then you got Cincinnati trailing them by 2 scores and they're able to come back and win that game. That's incredible. So if they could do that against Kansas City, they could probably do it against anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, I like Buffalo. I like Buffalo a lot too. I love Josh Allen. I think Buffalo is a good team that can make a splash. So if I had to pick like – 4 teams, obviously Green Bay, Kansas City, because that's like the 2 top dogs, and that's my Super Bowl prediction. And then Arizona, and then we got Cincinnati and Buffalo. Those are probably the teams I'd consider as dangerous.
Okay, I like those. I like those a lot, actually. Okay, and then I'll one more question from me, sort of for the round table. Who's your MVP this year, guys?
I got Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. What about you, Jay?
I'm liking Aaron Rodgers this year too, actually. Phenomenal season for Aaron, and he's been like his old self.
Yeah, no, I mean, I probably would go Rodgers as well, unless there's somebody I'm slipping on. I think he just has done a remarkable job. Like, is he like one of the only quarterbacks in the NFL right now who has like less than 10 interceptions? Am I thinking about that correctly?
I feel like he's one of the only quarterbacks every year that has a single digit.
Yeah, like his ability to just reduce turnovers. I mean, Brady has been pretty uncharacteristic, especially in the second half of the season. I mean, he's thrown multiple interceptions in a couple of games that I followed this year. That was pretty
shocking. There's been some games too where it's like you watch the Bucs, like that Sunday Night Football game against the Saints was probably top 5 worst football games I've ever watched.
Yeah,
ever. It was like 9-0. Yeah. Like the worst offensive scheme. Obviously, Chris Godwin tore his ACL at one point, but still, the throws were horrible. The schemes were horrible.
Yeah, he looked like a totally different quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just weird to see those games out of Brady.
Yeah, no, it really is. Well, okay, so listen, I mean, this kind of concludes our pre-programmed stuff. So, right, Bet, if there's anything else you want to touch on for, you know, the NFL, anything we talked about today, any shout-outs you want to give, one last plug for your Twitter or anything else, go for it, man.
Yeah, man, like I said, I look forward to the playoffs in general. This is my favorite time of the year football-wise. My Twitter is rightbetsports1. Give me a follow. Shoot me a DM. Even if you're not into betting or purchasing picks, DM me. I respond to every DM myself. I talk a lot of football to a lot of people, even that aren't clients of mine. I just enjoy talking football with everybody. So if that's something you're interested in, definitely give me a follow. And I appreciate you guys having me on here. I've had a good time, and I think it went well.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. And just as always, everybody, check out our content on our Twitter page at Slight Offsides. And we will be back next week with another episode. Catch you guys.
Thanks for listening to Slightly Offsides. We'll catch you next time.